for the next couple Sundays, we're going to deal with that thought, what is God like? And really, at the same time, we're pondering another question. We're really pondering, do you know God? Do you really know God? I want to impress upon you this morning how serious this is. Because when Jesus defined life eternal, he said life is eternal. Life eternal is this, that thou knowest God. To know God is to have life eternal. To have life eternal is to know God. So do you know the Lord this morning? And I don't mean this morning you know what you think he's like. I'm not talking about knowing what you wish he was like. No, do you know this morning what God is like? I remind you in Jeremiah 9, he says, if a man boasts of anything, he says, it's to be that he knows God. He says, let not the wise boast in their wisdom. He says, let not the mighty boast in their might. Let not the rich boast in the riches. But he says, if a man boasteth, let him glorieth in this, that he understandeth and that he knoweth me. I remind you, Hosea said, here's what God desires more than sacrifices, more than burnt offerings, that you know me this morning. So the truth is, we're pondering serious stuff. When we wonder, when we ask, when we meditate upon what is God like. In fact, I want to say to you this morning, I'll tell you, knowing what God's like determines how we worship. It determines the way we worship. It determines where we worship. Why, there's a lot of folks that haven't been to the house of God in over a year. It really has nothing to do with COVID. It has everything to do with their not knowing God and what God is like. Because if you don't know God, Jesus said you won't even know what you worship. Is that not what he told that Samaritan woman in John 4? He said, you know not what you worship. She was focused on a place, but oh my, and a place is important, of course, but oh my, that we know him is what drives our worship. I'll tell you, this not only determines how we worship, this determines how we walk. How we live. If you don't know this morning that God is holy, you'll have a low view of sin. You'll have a low view of the cross and what Christ did to pay for your sin. I remind you, Peter said, be ye holy. And then he gave us the reason, quoting from Leviticus, because God is holy. So hear me this morning, knowing what God is like is important. Now we went straight last Sunday morning, I know you weren't with us in person, but we went straight to the source himself. We looked at the one time the Lord himself tells us what his heart is like. He says, I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. We pondered the Lord and what his heart is like. This morning from the book of Micah, from the prophet Micah, I want us to consider this morning what God is like, and I want to consider his actions. His actions. And I want to look at the last three verses of the book, the last three verses of Micah chapter 7. Who is a God like unto thee? That pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities and thou wilt cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. And hallelujah, God will bless the reading of His Word. He will bless His Word, especially when it goes to talking about Him and what He is like. Now, the book of Micah is a book, for the most part, a book of judgment. Much of what Micah has said in these first seven chapters has been dealing with condemnation for sin, judgment that comes on sinners. But before Micah closes out the book, he gives us one last word, and I'm here to tell you his last word is his best word. The Holy Ghost wants Micah to tell us what God is like. And I would remind you this morning, absolutely nothing in the Word of God is by accident. It is no accident, it's no mistake, it's no fluke that the last three verses of the book of Micah tell us what God is like, because that's what the name Micah means. The name Micah means who is like Jehovah. The name Micah means what Jehovah, what God is like. And in these last three verses, Micah tells us four things about what God is like and about His actions, what He does. He tells us that He pardons. He tells us that He passes. He tells us of His passion. And He tells us of His performance. So let's look at it together this morning. What's God like? What does He do? What are the actions of God? Well, one of them is this. He pardoneth. He pardoneth there. When it says there, who is like a God unto thee that pardoneth iniquity. Now notice the text. Micah doesn't soft play it. Micah doesn't act as if though God never gets angry. He does. Micah honestly notes for us that God does get angry. And some say the book of Micah is an angry book. Well, it is an angry book if you're a sinner and you don't know God and you refuse to turn from sin. But Micah says, although He is a God that does get angry, He doesn't delight in anger. He demonstrates His anger, but He says, I want to tell you what He's like. He's a God that delights in mercy. He's a God that delights in forgiveness. Oh, He does get angry with sin, and He gets angry with your sin, and He gets angry with my sin, but He's a God that pardons and loves to show His mercy to you and me. You know, all the gods of religion, all the gods of all these false religions then and even now, I want you to know, they're gods that never forgive. They don't wipe away sin. They hold sin over those who bow down to them. They keep wanting more sacrifices and more sacrifices and more sacrifices. But up against that, Micah says, let me tell you what God, my God, is like. My God is a God that pardoneth. My God is a God that pardoneth iniquity. Now the word pardon and the idea behind the thought of pardon is rich and it's deep. It's got the idea of lifting up, bearing up, and taking away. All of them wrapped up together at the same time. To lift up, to bear up, and to take away. And I want to tell you that's exactly what we need. Well, it's exactly what we need to have done to our sin. For our sin was weighing upon us. Our sin was driving us down. Our sin was crushing us, dragging us to hell. But hallelujah, one came to lift up sin from us and to take it away. Oh my, you know, Cain wasn't honest about a lot of things. He wasn't honest about his sin. He wasn't honest about what he had done. But it does strike me that Cain was honest about something. He did have at least one right confession. When he said, my punishment is too great to bear. And that's exactly right. None of us can handle, none of us can handle the punishment and the judgment that comes upon sin. But hallelujah, our God came to take away our sin, to lift up our sin, to bear it away, and to take it away. Is that not what John said when he looked and saw the Lord coming that day? He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, hallelujah, that taketh away the sin of the world." Oh my, hallelujah. I'm glad my sin has been lifted. I'm glad my sin has been borne. I'm glad my sin has been taken away. Oh my, he's taken away our sin debt. He's taken away the penalty of our sin. Why? Because he pardoneth. That's what God's like. God pardons. Maybe I can illustrate it this way and maybe help you get a hold of it. Let's say I've got a charge account down at your gas station. And I charge my gas, whatever. And let's say I run up a bill of about $500 or so. And I've not paid one cent on it for the last 6 months. But I come in one day and I apologize to you. And I tell you I'm sorry. And from now on, I'm going to pay in cash. I'm not ever going to charge again. I'm just going to pay and pay strictly in cash from now on. Well, now that'd be pretty good for the future. Problem is, though, I still got a $600 debt that's weighing down on me, that's pressing down on me. Oh my, I want you to know sin like a weight was pressing down upon us. Oh my, and there's more to salvation than just saying, "God, I'm sorry, I'm going to do better." No, no, no. We needed somebody to step in and deal with our past, our present, and our future. And there's just one God that does that. The God that pardoneth. I'm talking this morning about what God is like. He pardoneth our iniquity. And the word iniquity speaks of our twistedness. It speaks of our perversion. It speaks of our crookedness. Oh my, my, my. And as a pardon lifts the debt from the record, a pardon lifts the charge on the account, a pardon lifts the charge off the record. That's what our God's like. He pardoneth. He pardoneth. But look here in that next phrase of verse 18. He's not a God that just pardoneth. He's a God that passeth. Micah speaks of God's passing. He says here that he passeth by the transgression of the remnant. The word passeth is to pass over. It goes all the way back to the night of Passover. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament. That night God said, "I'm going to pass through Egypt. I'm going to pass through Egypt and I'm going to execute judgment. I'm going to pour out judgment." But God said, "If you take the blood of the lamb and apply it to the doorposts and the lintel," God says, "when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'll pass on by. It'll not be death that comes in the door. It'll be life that comes in the door." You want to know what God is like this morning? God passes over those who trust him, those who've had the blood applied, and life comes in. That's what God is like this morning. He passeth over our transgressions. It's willful rebellion. Willful rebellion against God. You know, David had sinned greatly, but David rejoiced greatly over God's forgiveness. It says in Psalm 32, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Could have said it this way: whose sin is passed over. Not that God tolerates it. Not that God excuses it. Not that God pretends like it hadn't happened. But the sin that he covers, the sin covered by his blood, oh my, he passes over. David says, blessed, blessed, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Oh my. And you know what? You know why David was so excited about that? Because David had tried his best to cover his own sin. I mean, he says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Oh my. But he said, I acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge my sin and iniquity unto thee have I not hid. I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And thou forgavest the iniquity. Thou passed over. Thou covers the iniquity. That's what God's like this morning. And some this morning, maybe you're sitting here or you're listening this morning. You're just like David. You've been trying to keep it hid. You've been trying to keep it quiet. You've been trying to do better, but oh my, it's killing you. It's drying you up. Your joy has dried up. You ought to know this morning there's a God that delights to forgive, and he will cover your sin, your iniquity. That's what God is like this morning. Oh my. That's how he acts towards those who come in confession. That's how he acts towards those who acknowledge their sin. Oh my. I'm talking about what God is really like this morning. Oh my. He pardoneth. He passeth over. But look here in verse 19. Micah says something about God's passion. He says he will have compassion upon us. Now I use the word passion because the word passion, and rather the word compassion here that's translated compassion in verse 19. The word translated compassion comes from the word for the womb. For the womb of a mother. It's directing us to the love of a mother. It's directing us to the passion and the motion and the love of a mother. Oh my, I want you to know a mother will go to any length. A mother will give up. A mother will do whatever needs to be done for the sake of that baby, for the sake of that boy, for the sake of that girl. Oh my, there's love there. There's compassion there. There's passion there. And oh my, here Micah says our God is a God of passion, and he's moved to love towards you, and he's moved to love towards me. It is a love that must act. It is a love that must be expressed. It's a love that is stirred. You see, he just doesn't pardon. That'd be wonderful. And it is. He just doesn't pass over. That's wonderful. Hallelujah. I'm glad he does. But he can do that and stay socially distanced. But he doesn't want to stay socially distanced. He wants to draw nigh. He wants to love on you and love on me and forgive us. Oh my, that's a God that is the God of the Word of God. He has passion, love for you and me. Now he illustrates it. Look here. He illustrates it. He says he will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. The word subdue means to tread underfoot. But most literally, the word means to stop. That's about the best, that's about the closest I can get in English to it. It's got the idea of stomping. It's got the idea of trampling. Oh my. And I remind you, way back in the garden, that's exactly what God said he would do one day. He said, oh my, the seed of the serpent will come and it'll bruise his heel. But hallelujah, God would stop. God would stop. God would subdue our sins and our death. That's what my God's like. That's what my God's like. That's what my God's like this morning. You think I'm going to set the house? You think I'm going to set the house because of some so-called virus? Virus or no virus? I've got a God worthy of worship this morning. Oh man. Oh man. He's got the idea of having dominion over. Having dominion over. God breaks the power of sin. He stops it. I want to tell you, I wasn't in too many fights. Didn't win all I was ever in. But there's a time or two, bless God, I got stopped. And when the boys or when Anna would play ball, the truth is, I just didn't want her to win. I wanted her to stop them.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I'm glad when it comes to sin. I'm glad when it comes to Satan. Oh, my. It didn't go to overtime. It wasn't a close hair race finish. No, no, no. I'm glad my God has stopped. I'm glad my God has subdued iniquities. I'm talking about what that God is like. Now, yes, I'm afraid we know we can. And yes, I'm afraid if we're honest, we know we do sin. And I'm here to tell you this morning, we don't have to anymore. We don't have to anymore. Don't you believe the lie of the devil? It's the devil that told you, well, you got to sin. No, no, no. You all know why? Sin's been stopped. Sin has been subdued at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my. Now, there's a second illustration here. Micah says he's a God of passion. He's a God that's emotional. His emotions are stirred. It's revealed in his stomping, his subduing. But look here. Secondly, it's subdued in his casting. He will cast all their sins in the depths of the sea. That word cast is a forceful word too. That word subdue, it has to do with violent stomping. The word cast has to do with violent throwing. He just didn't toss or lay down my sin in the depths of the sea. No. The word is to cast and to cast fully away. To cast away with force. Oh, man. So how far did he cast them, preacher? Well, the psalmist says he cast them as far as the east is from the west. Best I can tell, that means they're still a-going. They're still a-going because the east and the west never meet. Isaiah tells us he's placed them and cast them Behind his back. Oh my. But he's cast them in the depths of the sea. Oh, I love it. I love it. In the Bible, when it speaks of something being cast or placed in the sea, it speaks of being hidden where it cannot be found anymore. And here's what I love. There's a day coming when there will be no more sea. That's what God is like. He takes our sin. He takes the sin of his heritage. He takes the sin of his people. He takes the sin of those covered by the blood because he's looking for the blood. He's not looking for your baptism. He's not looking for your church membership. He's not looking for your promise to do better. No, no, no. He's looking for the blood. And for all those covered by the blood, he takes and casts their sin away. He remembers them. He remembers them no more. Now, Micah says, this is what God's like. He says, now he is a God that gets angry. But notice what he says. He will turn. He will turn again. He turns again from anger. God turns from anger. But hear me this morning. He never turns from his love for his children. He never turns from his love for his children. He casts our sin. He stops our sin. He remembers them no more. Now, you may remember them. And the devil will remind you of them. And some people will even remind you of them. But can I say to you this morning, if your sins have been pardoned, if your sins have been passed over, I want you to know this morning God remembers them no more. In fact, I can't deal with this right now. Well, this very well may help some of you. I want you to know, if you have confessed your sins, when he died on Calvary, he dealt with our sin, S-I-N, our sin, and our sin has been forgiven. But when we sin, our sins separate us from fellowship is broken. But I will tell you this morning, if you have confessed your sins, any sin or any sins this morning, you have confessed unto God. He has pardoned them. He has covered them. He has passed over them. That's not Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. The Holy Ghost does not convict you of something he has already forgiven you of. That is of the devil. Amen. See, we need to know what our God is like. Lest we think he's somebody we got to keep coming back to and saying, I'm sorry, and saying, I'm sorry, and saying, I'm sorry. When you and I sin against him, yes, we need to say, I'm sorry. But hallelujah, he's a God that pardoneth. He's a God that passeth over. He's a God of passion. He doesn't turn from his love for you or for me. One last one in verse 20. He performs. He speaks of God's performance. He says, thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob. Thou wilt perform the truth to Jacob. I want to tell you this morning, he keeps his promises. That's what God's like. He keeps his word. He's faithful. To his, he makes good. He performs. He performs. He makes good. He fulfills the promise he did to Abraham. Oh, I know it looked like for many, many years Abraham wasn't going to have a boy. But no, God hadn't forgot about Abraham nor his word. Amen. To Jacob, to David. Amen. Guess what? He's not forgotten about you this morning. He's not forgotten about me. And he's not forgotten about the church in the midst of a pandemic. He has not forgotten. He will perform his word and keep his word to you and to me. Hear me this morning. What he promises, he performs. It's not, listen, it's not what he promises we perform. We got to do. No. What he promises, he performs. He will do. It's not that we got to promise and we got to perform. Hallelujah. This thing's not about our performance. It's about his performance. Who never ever fails to do what he promised. So what's your point, preacher? Here it is. If you promise it, you got to perform it. If you promise it, you've got to keep it. If I make a promise to my grandsons, they're not going to come to you. and ask about it, they're going to come to me. If you promise it, you must perform it. God has promised He will perform it. Oh my. I haven't promised. I haven't promised that God would supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. I haven't promised that. But He promised that. He promised that. Therefore, He will supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. I haven't promised that sin shall not reign over my mortal body. I don't have to strive and try and try. No. He promised that sin would not have dominion over me. I haven't promised that His grace would be sufficient for me. No. But He sure enough promised that. He sure enough promised that. And that which He promises, He performs. What is God really like? More importantly, what is your God like? I'm glad this morning I know the God that pardons. I'm glad I know this morning the God that passes over sin, delights to show mercy to sin and to sinners. And if you will this morning but come and run unto Him, you can find mercy. You can find forgiveness. You can find pardon. I'm glad He gets stirred up over me. I'm glad He gets stirred up over His children. He loves us with a holy, eternal, undying love. I'm glad He's a God that keeps His word and keeps His promises. And I would say to some of you sitting here this morning, He promises if you will but call upon Him, if you will but believe in your heart and trust upon Him, that He will save you. Oh my, this morning, that's what God is like. We're standing. I'm going to pray, but Brother Brian, you get us something to sing. Maybe God's pricked your heart about something this morning. Maybe you feel just like David. You're dry as dust. Your joy's turned into dust. Your life, the moisture, the vitality of your life has become like a desert. Because of things you've not dealt with, or because you've got a wrong idea of God, thinking you've got to do better and promise this and promise that. Oh my, this morning, you need to know who God is really, really, really like. Oh my. He's a God that lifts, bears up, has taken away our sin. He's a God that gets stirred up. And I will tell you, He deserves a people that get stirred up over Him. He deserves a people that are committed to worshiping Him and walking for Him. God, You know every heart, You know every need this morning. In Your holy name I pray, amen and amen. Let me give you an illustration. It's not mine. A young man that was seemingly enslaved to sexual sin and lust, came to James Montgomery Boyce years ago. He had met a girl, wanted to marry her. He said, "I just don't think I can. I've got this problem. I think I'd fail in her eyes, and I'd forsake her love." Said, "I just don't think I could ask her to marry me." Montgomery Boy said, "If you've trusted God, if you've believed God, if you've asked God to forgive you," he said, "you love God and you love her." He said, "But you go and you tell her everything you've just told me." He said, I don't think I can do that, preacher. He said, she'd turn away from me. He said, not if she really loves you. He said, because years ago, young man, had a man in your same position. He is already married. Time and time again, he failed his wife, committed adultery, committed sin against her. But time and time again, he came to her. And time again, she forgave him. Boy said, I tell you what, I believe if that woman really, really loves you, she'll do just exactly what that wife did. She'll say, yes, I know you failed again, but I do love you. And I do forgive you because God has forgiven me. And yes, my heart is broken, but she said, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to love you regardless of what you do. He said, but oh, I've so made a mess of it. I've so ruined everything. She said, yes, I know it's true, but I still love you. And I'm going to love you even more. And I'm going to pray our love grows even stronger. And James Montgomery Boyce just kept going on with that illustration. That young man finally hopped up from his seat and said, why, my Lord, that kind of love, that kind of love will motivate anybody to stay clean and to live right. I'm here to tell you this morning, if you and I can but grasp the love of our God, the love of our God, the love of our God, it'll motivate us to worship, it'll motivate us to walk right. But if you don't know what it's like, and if you don't know what His love is like, you'll miss it. You'll miss it. We sing in the love of God. Altar's open. You need to do whatever you need to do this morning. Sing, Brother Brian.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty.
That means you're within reach this morning. You may say, preacher, I've messed it up. You may have, but I want to tell you, God's a God of pardon. He's a God of love. He delights in mercy. You can find salvation. You can find forgiveness this morning.
And pardon from their sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and poor, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure.
Oh, yes.
The saints and angels' song.
As we sing,
could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stone on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean field
And were the skies of parchment made, were every stone on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and
angels. Give that chorus one more time. Redeemed us.
And so it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm glad I not only know about him, because clearly a lot of Baptists just know about him. But if you ever know him, and if it ever breaks in on what he really, really, really is like, ain't no telling what you might do in worship. I pray it might be so.